Welcome into another edition of A Pickaxe to Grind. It's been a couple of weeks, but we're here in this round two playoff edition discussion as the Nuggets find themselves up 2-0 in this series against the Phoenix Suns. And Friday's going to be a big one. As we're recording this, it's Wednesday afternoon, so this will lead you up to the big game coming up Friday night. Still waiting to see what the status is for Chris Paul. That's a big deal. You know, again, it's not like Chris Paul was really... The first two games, I wouldn't say Chris Paul has been impacting the game that much. You know, Suns fans are going to be like, oh, we're doing this without Chris Paul. Blah, blah, blah. This isn't the Chris Paul of 2 years ago. 2 years ago, Chris Paul torched the Nuggets. So we'll see what happens there. I don't think he's going to play based off everything that we're seeing right now. Who knows, as I'm recording this, and as maybe as you're listening to this, the news is already broke, that he's not going to play. The Suns are going to prepare as if he's not playing. So that, I mean, again, you don't want to root for injuries. You never do that. That's the goal, the sin when it comes to watching these playoff games and in sports in general. You're not rooting for a guy to get hurt, but you do have to take advantage of it. And that's, you know, now I think, listen, the pressure's on Phoenix now. You got to win two games in a row against a team, a Nuggets team that's kind of had their, you know, game one, the Nuggets obviously had their way with Phoenix. And then the last 5 minutes of that game in game two, the Nuggets had their way with the Suns again. And it was an unconventional way. You know, it was a sloppy game. It was ugly. It was nasty. But the Nuggets just found a way. And obviously that's because of the two-time MVP, not the three-time. As Joel Embiid, the announcement came down last night that Joel Embiid is now the MVP from the 2022-23 season. But it was an MVP performance by the Joker that willed this team to beating the Suns 97-87. Joker in that game, again, you already know the stat line. I'm not going to spend a lot of time just going over the numbers, but 39 points, 16 rebounds, 5 assists. We know what this guy can do. I mean, he seems like he gets better every single time, every single game. He does something a little bit more magnificent. And I think that Suns game, that was a prime example of a dude just putting a team on his back. Sloppy game. He was the only consistent good thing in that game, too, was Joker. There were some other positives that happened from the game, and obviously some negatives we'll take from it. But that's where your superstar looks at the situation and goes, all right, this is what it's going to be tonight. This is why Joker's such a special player, because he decides already at the start of the game, okay, this feels like it's going to have to be me scoring a lot of points tonight. It's going to have to be me forcing the issue. I think even on the broadcast, they're like, you know, normally when Joker doesn't have a lot of assists and his point total is crazy, they don't win as much. Well, that's true, because those assists come from guys that he's given the ball to, and they're typically scoring. And if they're not, they're not converting assists, they're not converting baskets, and obviously the Nuggets struggle because of that. But again, Joker was 17-30, 2-for-6 from the three-point line. He made it to the free throw line 4 times, made 3 of those, and had a monster game. So there's no question that Joker has been one of the best players in these playoffs. He's had some solid games against Minnesota. That was certainly his game, where it was like, all right, this is when we're going to be struggling. Offense isn't there. We need Nikola Jokic to do some magic, and he did. He was sensational, and the Nuggets, again, because of that effort, without him, they're blown out. It's like 87-63, but we don't have to ask that. We don't have to worry about that, because we have the two-time MVP, and the Nuggets are up 2-0. A positive before I get to the negatives, Aaron Gordon, well, maybe a couple of positives. Aaron Gordon played his role again to perfection. Didn't get a lot of rebounds, which was crazy for Gordon. He had 1 board in that game, but his 16 points, it's not screaming at you off the stat line or off the box score. You're not freaking out at that number, but it was just where he was, putting himself in a position to get easy buckets and easy dunks and things like that. But his defensive effort, man, I feel like he's been beating KD up. I mean, KD's having to work for everything that he does, especially when Aaron Gordon is on him. Kevin Durant had 24 points off of 10 of 27 shooting. He was 2 of 12 from the 3-point line. Something's not right there. I'm not I'm not trying to get too ahead of myself here and think that that's just KD now. I would imagine before this series is over, we're going to see a monster Kevin Durant night. That's my guess. There was a reporter, our friend Vic Lombardi, asked Kevin Durant before the series started. He said, do you kind of feel like you're going to have to be in a position where you go off and you just take over a game and you do that? And he's like, well, I have. And not since he's been with Phoenix. He's only been there for like 15, 16 games. He only played 15 or 16 games with Phoenix. But we haven't really seen the vintage KD where it's like everything he does is going in. We haven't seen that yet. And so he was a little upset by the question, but it's a fair question because we haven't seen it. I would imagine with at least two games to go, depending on how this series goes, you're going to see a vintage KD night. That's going to be a big one for sure. So KD's going to roll. Devin Booker's doing his thing. Love him or hate him. 35 points, 4 of 29, 14 of 29, excuse me. He was as good as advertised. That's what he does. For the Nuggets, though, now Friday's going to be interesting. Is it going to be another vintage Nikola Jokic night? Or are you going to get your other guys, Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., guys that are on the cusp? Are they going to step up? Jamal was 0 for 9 from the three-point line. He was 3 of 15 overall. 10 points, 8 assists. He made an impact in that game. But you're not going to win a lot if Jamal's not one of the guys. And I've said this from the beginning. Joker's the MVP. He can put a team on his back. He can do that. He did it in game 2. But what makes Nikola Jokic so great is he is the ultimate team player. Well, you have to have players playing better in order for Joker's stat line to really fill up and affect the game the way we know it should. Like, I don't always want to see a 39.16 rebound game from Joker. I'd rather see a 25-point game, 12 rebounds, and 8 assists. You know, just 3 or 4 more getting guys in the mix. But that leads us back to Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. Porter didn't play in the fourth quarter. Jamal played, but he made some key shots late. But the Nuggets kind of were starting to wrap things up there. But let me look at Michael Porter Jr. first. He's a liability on defense. Has he gotten better on the defensive side of the ball? No doubt about it. He's much better than he was 2 years ago. 2 years ago, he looked lost. He didn't know where to be, didn't know who to guard, didn't understand switches, didn't understand going over or under screens, anything like that. He's not there anymore. He just doesn't have that ability. Mentally, you have to dedicate yourself to it, yes, but it's also, you got to do well moving, you know, without a basketball in your hands. You got to do well moving side to side and then going with your back against the hoop. Those are things that you're asking a defensive player to do, and Porter just doesn't seem to have that ability, and Michael Malone knew that in the fourth. Jamal's still going to give you a defensive game. He's still going to pass the ball well with 8 assists in that game. He almost had a double-double. Porter's not going to give you a lot of those other stats. He can rebound. He had 4 boards. He can rebound. But moving without the basketball, creating space, creating something off of a dribble, not necessarily his strong suit, but it's something he's been getting better with throughout the course of this season. That wasn't there in game 2. And Michael Malone just liked what he had with Bruce Brown being at. Christian Brown got a lot of minutes in that game. He had 16 minutes, excuse me. He had 2 points, but still, it's the defensive stuff that Christian Brown's bringing. So Malone looked at it and said, we are going to win this game defensively. That's what's going to happen. Porter, sorry, if you were lights out right now and you were shooting the ball really well and you were on fire, then that's one thing, but you weren't. So if you're not going to bring any kind of defensive dedication, any kind of defensive presence, then I can't have you out there. So Porter played his way off of the floor in that game. I don't think that's going to be a trend. We've seen that happen throughout the season. But in that case, you know, at first I was confused as to why he wasn't out there. He's a starter. You want your starters there in crunch time. But he wasn't giving it to you. And Bruce Brown has been an unsung hero. I mean, like I talked about Gordon earlier, Bruce Brown, his defensive ability, his ability to finish at the rim for a guard, well, I guess he's a small forward, but still, he plays a lot like a guard. For him to finish the way he does has been just exceptional. It's been amazing. So Bruce Brown's going to keep earning more minutes. He had 25 minutes. Porter had 23. That tells you a lot. Going to Jamal Murray, 10 points, 8 assists, 4 boards. 39 minutes in that game. He knew it. He's like, dude, 0-for-9. I was bad. I mean, I was just missing shots. It wasn't anything they were doing. There was a moment in that game, though. Maybe it was the third period. Joker passes it to a wide open Jamal Murray. Murray, instead of taking the quick three, pump fakes to his right, then takes the shot. He's just unsure of himself. You could see the confidence diminishing or the confidence fading from him throughout the course of that game. And that's another reason why I think Malone is like, dude, I get Porter. I understand it. Sucks he's not playing the fourth. That might hurt his confidence. I don't know. Jamal's the guy I gotta have confident. I gotta have him finish this game on somewhat of a positive note. And if I can't get him there, it's going to hurt us in the next game. It's going to hurt us in game three, regardless of the outcome here. I've got to have Murray see the ball go through the hoop. And he did. I think Murray had two or three fairly key buckets there to put the Nuggets in a position to win this thing. I stand by it. Jamal Murray on his best days can be one of the best in the league. The problem is, and I sound like a broken record, the problem is he doesn't always have his best days. He's inconsistent. He's one of the most inconsistent semi-superstars I remember seeing in the NBA. Nationally, they love him. They want him to be a superstar. The graphics on the games, they're putting him up there. They're saying he is a superstar. Here's his numbers. But if you're a Nuggets fan and you've watched a lot of Nuggets basketball, you know, all right, I'm going to get a Jamal Murray night tonight. Okay, here we go. 25 points, bam, superstar. Next night, 19. Next night after that, maybe 22. Night after that, 17 points. He's inconsistent. He asked the other night after game one when he went off, he was on a tear. He said, I don't know what I have to do to prove it to you guys. I don't know what I have to do to prove myself to you guys that my game is good. Do it again and again and again. You can't follow up that game with a 10-point game, 0-for-9 from the 3-point line, 3-of-15 overall. That's what you're doing to prove the doubters right. So now Friday, you kind of reset. I would imagine, you know, if I were you, I'd hammer that over on Jamal Murray. It's probably going to be like 23, 24. I take it. Jamal's probably going to go off in this game. But what will he do in game four? What will he do in game five? What will he do in game one against Golden State or LA? And if you look back at the bubble, we love to talk about the bubble. Go look at his stat totals in the bubble. 50-point game, 45-point game. Oh, 17. 13. Oh, 42. I mean, that is Jamal. Now, his ceiling's getting higher, so you're starting to see, okay, bad games for Jamal are probably... You're not going to see a lot of 10-point games from Jamal. Bad games for Jamal are probably 16 points or so. Like, that was an outlier. That game, nothing was going in. He's too good of a shooter to go 0-for-9. So, no, that's not going to be a problem again. But I'm telling you guys right now, I'm a Joker guy. He's the man. He's by far the team's best player. He's an MVP. He's the best in the league. But if the Nuggets want to lift a trophy, if they want to be the champion, Jamal Murray has to go with Nikola Jokic. So I do expect that to happen on Friday. Can they close the series out? Are the Nuggets really in the heads of Phoenix? Now, it's going to change. I mean, you're at home. This Phoenix crowd's going to be crazy. This is their team. This is their championship team. This is who they thought. They got Kevin Durant. Here we go. Chris Paul's finally going to get there. Now Chris Paul's got a groin injury. We may not see him. But you know you're going to have to weather the storm. Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, they're going to do their thing. They're going to go off. And it'll probably be Cameron Payne at point guard, who was not very good. 1 of 7. He's going to be the starting point guard if Chris Paul can't go. You got to take advantage of that mismatch. So I do expect a much more offensive game. I mean, the first game one, it was 32-31 in the first, Phoenix. Game one of this game, of game two, was 21-18 Phoenix. Second wasn't much different. It was 21-22. Started to get more scoring in that third. But overall, that game two was... I don't see that happening again. I do like the Nuggets to win game three. I still think this thing ends in... I said six. I expected Denver to win both games at home. I just didn't expect to see both games go down that way. Just beat them by 20 or whatever in the first game and then play like garbage outside of Joker for the most part offensively and still win by 10. I didn't see that coming. So now I'm looking at it going, wow, we're not going to play that bad again. And Phoenix seems a little rattled. Could this thing go to five? Now, here's how I thought it would go down. Nuggets go up 2-0. They split with Phoenix, and they're up 3-1. And then I thought Phoenix would come back, surprise Denver in Denver. Denver would go to Phoenix and win, close this thing out in game six. I think Denver's going to close this thing out in Denver. Whether that's a game seven or a game five, it's feeling like it's going to be a game five. But as the old adage goes, you don't start the series. The series doesn't start until somebody wins on the road, which is silly because you can still win a series if you're only winning at home if you're the favorite. So Denver can do that. They can go that path, but it feels like they're a confident team. I think that game two win probably gave them a little more confidence than even the game one situation. So I like Denver on Friday night. I think they're gonna pull this one out, and then you know what happens when you go up 3-0. It's over. And Denver's gonna move to the Western Conference Finals. If that happens, two more wins. That's all I gotta do. Beat Phoenix twice. And then they go to the Western Conference Finals for the fourth time in their franchise history. Of course, we know Alex English, his Denver Nuggets went. We know that Carmelo Anthony and his Denver Nuggets went with Chauncey Billups. We know, obviously, the Nuggets went in the bubble. If you count it or not, it happened. There was a Western Conference Finals, and the Nuggets were in it. Could be a rematch, Nuggets-Lakers again. And then, of course, Nikola Jokic's Nuggets again doing it for real, just getting past the Phoenix Suns. Can't wait. I'm excited about it. The MVP thing, I'll give you a short hit on that. Joel Embiid gets the MVP yesterday. And listen, he's a great player. He's an MVP caliber player. I'm not doubting that. I'm not denying that. But the thing that bothered me the most about this whole voting process and the narrative was, okay, Kendrick Perkins coming out. I did a podcast about that earlier, saying it was, you know, basically saying it without saying it, that it was borderline racist, that Steve Nash and Dirk and Joker won it without being the top 10 in points or whatever that was. They won MVPs. What does that mean? Is it because they're white? Blah, blah, blah. I think Joel Embiid campaigning for it and crying about it and, you know, I need to be it. These are my numbers. It's insane, blah, blah, blah. I also think there was a mindset of, okay, well, Joker got two. Giannis already got two. Let's just give it to Joel Embiid. Those three things, I think, have to go away from this. Who's the best player in the league? And you just saw Phoenix. And again, it's a regular season award. These guys put their votes in before the playoffs. So to be fair, you got to judge it off of that. But Philadelphia goes into Boston game one, and they beat them without Joel Embiid. The Nuggets without Nikola Jokic couldn't beat Houston. They didn't beat Houston with Joker, but that was a bad game. They're not beating a lot of teams without Nikola Jokic. He's the MVP to this team. Joel Embiid still has James Harden. The closest things to James Harden the Nuggets have is Jamal Murray, who, as we just talked about, is very inconsistent. So congratulations to Joel Embiid. He's a hell of a player. And I can't really argue with, like, who's the better player between the two. Joel Embiid's probably better one-on-one. Joker's probably better as a team player. Does that even out and they're pretty close? Maybe so. I just didn't like the narrative that surrounded it. But you know what? Nikola Jokic doesn't care. He's the one superstar, maybe in the history of ever, in the history of sports, that when he says he doesn't care, he truly doesn't care. And I think Joel Embiid tried to say that if you say you don't care, you're full of blank, you're full of shit, whatever. No, that's not the truth. You know that. Joker doesn't care. It doesn't bother him one iota. As soon as the season is over, depending on how far they go, whatever, he'll be in Sombor. He'll be back to Serbia with his family and his horses, not paying attention to any of the stuff we're saying after they win or don't win a championship. He doesn't care. And you can believe that. He's the best player in the NBA to me. I think we're going to see this team surprisingly breeze past the Phoenix Suns. This was a team that once they got Durant, that was supposed to be a favorite. But don't get too high yet. The series could be tied by the end of the weekend or by the time we get to Monday if Phoenix does what they're supposed to do. Denver did what they're supposed to do. What Phoenix is supposed to do is even the series and win their two games. So we could be in nervous time again come game five. But split in Phoenix, it's likely over, folks. So Denver Nuggets, Phoenix Suns back at it on Friday night. Cannot wait. I'm looking forward to it. And we'll be back after this. I'll do another podcast on this Monday, depending on the games, depending on the schedule. And who knows? Denver could be done with this thing by the time we get to the next podcast that I do. Because potentially what they're looking at is they play Friday and then they play Sunday night at 6. So Monday I could be talking about the Nuggets moving on to the Western Conference Finals, or we could be talking about, we could be previewing a Game 5 in Denver against the Phoenix Suns. That'll do it for us, folks. Thanks for listening. Catch us on the whole show every weekday on KFKA. That's 103.1 and 1310. I'm on 11 to 2 every weekday, so we obviously talk Nuggets, but we talk Broncos, Buffs, Rams, Bears, Rockies, Avalanche, all of it as much as we can. Appreciate your support. Have a good evening. Go Nuggets.